Welcome to this week's Mungle Show. I am Matt Mungle. As always, appreciate you hanging out with us each week. Whether you're listening Saturday night on the radio show, catching the rebroadcast on Sunday afternoon, or taking us anywhere, anytime via the podcast, we appreciate you doing that. Remember, everything that we do, you can check out mungleshow.com. I want to start off this show. We always like to talk about really cool things hitting digital, streaming, opportunities for you to watch things at home. And this one is a good one. I'm really excited about this. It's Billie Eilish, Hit Me Hard and Soft, her concert documentary directed by her and James Cameron. It is now on digital. This thing was really cool. I used words like intimate, personal, on fire. I mean, it's just really, really cool to watch this take place. I'm a fan of music documentaries of all kind, going back to Rattle and Hum, and so many have been done. And now that technology and camera work and expert directors are getting involved, I feel like they're just getting better and better and really giving us that in-concert perspective at home. I wouldn't say I'm a giant, huge fan of Billie Eilish. I appreciate her music. I'm a fan of her songwriting. I think she's a super talent. Not always my genre, but I'll try to keep up with what she's releasing and the songs that she's done. I would like to think I'm pretty familiar with most of them. But man, watching this concert doc just really elevated her in my scope of artist and performer and writer. It's just really, really cool to watch. I learned in the documentary, she talks about how she likes a stripped down stage. She wants it to be very subtle, just her and an audience, not a lot of background dancers, not a lot of hoopla. And it really comes across. There is a really intimate feel with Billie and her crowd and just the way that they are just mesmerized and in the palm of her hand, literally, as she performs. And she just leaves it all on the stage. I mean, it's not an easy feat to be the only person up there and to really captivate a large arena. And she is able to do that. And her band is great. I'll admit, I went into it thinking there's going to be a lot of loops, a lot of tracks, a lot of just synced stuff, a lot of vocal tracks, but it really wasn't. She had a live band there, bass, keys, guitar, a couple guitar players, two female background vocals, and it really was a live concert performance, and I really appreciated that. Anytime you include live music in a genre like this, I think it just elevates it even more. So again, I don't know if you're a fan of Billie Eilish or if you're a fan of movie making or documentaries. Anyway, I really suggest that you watch this. And I think it will just make you appreciate more everything that Billie is doing and just the advancement of concert documentaries. So again, it's Billie Eilish, Hit Me Hard and Soft. It's now on digital. And I just wanted to take some time to share that with you before we get into the meat of this show this week. And joining me, as always, it is Susan Kamiop-Stevens from thischicksflix.com.
Hey!
Well, there's a couple of things we want to talk about. I want to say that this is not going to be a spoiler-free show because there's a couple of shows I want to talk about that are on Netflix that we've alluded to, that we've watched, that I kind of want to deep dive in because one of them is so crazy and the other one is just so good. So we're going to do that, but I do want to precede that if you have Netflix and have not watched Maternal Instinct or Voicemails for Isabel, is that her name, Isabel?
Yes. Voicemails for Isabel.
Took me forever. It's like as soon as I said it, it didn't sound right. So both of those are on
Netflix. Wanting to say two, but yeah.
Yeah. So we're gonna chat about that. Which one do you want to do first? Do you want to save Crazy Train for last and talk about the fun one, or how do you want to do it?
Maybe we should start with Crazy Train so that it's end on this happier note one. I think Maternal Instinct came out before Voicemails for Isabel. So maybe let's get that one.
Yeah, that's too. It's been out a couple of weeks. It debuted June 12th on Netflix as a documentary. And, you know, I hate to say that anything that's crazy, it's either going to be, usually it's Florida. But if it's not Florida, it's always Texas. I don't know what it is about crazy people in Texas.
It's small town Texas, though. Like, I've never heard of New Boston, Texas. What is that place? Are you kidding me? Like, let me see how far it is from here. That's insane.
And what's funny is that when I drive back to see my mom, we go through Texarkana up through Little Rock. And so we go right through New Boston all the time.
I've never heard of New Boston. And it's only like 3 hours away. So it's not too far from us.
It's not too far. Now, I've never really been to there, but I always pass by the exits and it says, you know, New Boston exit here, you know. So I'm familiar with it only from that aspect of I've been driving that route to see my mom for, you know, since, I don't know, probably 30 years almost since I've been in Texas. But other than that, I mean, this is pretty much going to put that on the map. Did you hear about this before the documentary? Did it make news at all?
That's the thing that's wild to me is I mean, the thing is, you watch enough Lifetime movies and you see enough true crime, you think, this sounds like I've probably heard this before, but I don't remember this one in the news at all.
Yeah.
The
And
only,
go ahead.
oh, I was just going to say, out of, because right now, like Netflix is like, it seems like they've like, been like they said they're like topping each one of their like villains, right? Like they've done the unknown number, the mom, the perfect neighbor, Mackenzie, Shrilla, whatever, and then maternal instinct, right? But and they keep topping each other, so the worst. The only one out of those four that I saw in the news was the unknown number one. I just remember that mom being on like a like Yahoo, like her that mugshot or whatever it was. That's the only thing I remember seeing. Nothing else I do I recall of these. And these are way more wild than that.
Right. Yeah. No, that's true. So I just wonder what makes, I mean, there's so many stories out there. You just wonder what makes news and what hits your algorithms anymore. It's like, if it's not in my algorithm, I mean, there could be so many people that heard about this and I just didn't because that's not really the circle I run in. But Netflix found it. I mean, Netflix has the ability to find these stories, man. I don't know who their investigative reporters are, whoever's in charge of going out there and finding the crazy, but man, they've been doing a good job.
They've been killing it, like literally. So good. I love that. I mean, this is such a good documentary. Like it's so interesting. But I mean, part of it is that it's well made, but they know what subject matter to like have us hooked on.
Right. And this isn't one of those where, I mean, there are three story, maybe even four story arcs within Maternal Instinct that would be riveting all on its own. But the fact that it just keeps building layer by layer of crazy, and it's like, whoa, what? And it's just so like you could strip out two or three of the things that happen and it'd still be riveting television, but just it just keeps coming.
Yeah, no, I think what's smart is the way that they do, like, how clearly who's ever like writing the documentary and editing it, all their documentaries, they do such a good job of this where they start out with something that you're like, oh man, this is wild. Like, with, I mean, for example, with this one, it's like it's like her lying and like she's already just kind of like weird. But then, like, it's like, they do a perfect like midpoint where they reveal she's had a hysterectomy. Like, they don't just put that up at the front. Like that, they do this like, oh, we know she's not pregnant. She had a hysterectomy, and there's like mic drop. Like what? Like it's you already just think like it's wild. She's lying about her pregnancy, but then she's had a freaking hysterectomy. Are you kidding me? And like doctors know about it, and they can't say anything because of HIPAA. And then all these people know about it, and they're just—I mean, oh my God! And it just keeps getting worse, and you're like, what?
Yeah, and it's almost like and you're right, they do an amazing job, Netflix does, of editing and producing these shows because it's almost like we find out the same way the real people found out. It's not like we have all the facts at the beginning. We're kind of following this story almost like they are. And I think that's what makes it just as shocking. Because this one starts with this woman pulled over by a cop. She's got a
Oh
baby in
my.
her lap with an umbilical cord. She says she's had a baby. They take her to the hospital. The doctor comes in and said, "This lady ain't had no baby. She ain't had nothing like a baby." And so then it flashes
doctor.
back to the whole story beginning of how we got there. And I mean, so the first 10 minutes, you're hooked. There's no way
You're
I'm turning this off.
no, and can I just say another genius thing is like, I mean, it's beautiful that they have this like pullover body cam footage because this girl, Taylor Parker, what an incredible actress she is. No wonder, I'm gonna tell you right now, no wonder why she got away with all these lies because she is so convincing. The way she's shaking is just, oh, I had my baby on the side of the road, like I was trying to get to Idabel Hospital, like all this stuff. I'm like, I would have totally thought that she had it until, like I would buy it because she's so frantic and like seems like she had it. And then you just, that doctor is like, I love that doctor. Like, don't look like, he's so matter of fact too. He's not even
No.
freaking out. He's just like, nope, doesn't look like, no baby came out of there. Doesn't look like she
I
had
got
it.
real stuff to deal with. Y'all take
Yeah,
care of this.
exactly. He's like, okay, we're done now. I'm not dealing with this psycho.
And I love how the cops and the dog, and we see a little bit at the beginning and more at the end, they don't coddle her at all. They're like, look,
No.
You are lying. What is going on? Where is this baby from? And
She's like,
then
it's mine.
you know, it's so, and you don't know if it's like at some point something in her brain snapped where
Yeah.
she really had to have believed it to be able to pull it off that convincingly. Because you're right, nobody's that great of an actress
Okay, I don't know. Go ahead.
to I was gonna say to be able to be that convincing and almost like she's not convincing herself or trying to cover it up. She's not like creating lies in the moment. She's just stating that this fact that she feels is fact, you know, instead of saying, well, and backtracking and him hawing. I mean, she is, man, she's riding the story for sure.
She is a compulsive liar. She's a narcissist. I mean, she's got like a pile of problems, but like people like her language is lying. She's gotten so used to lying and believing her lies that that's why they're so convincing. And she, like, I mean, I don't know if she likes to imagine she's got just like this alternate life or something, but yeah, I mean, and also, I don't know how anyone could keep up with all those lies. I would
That's
lose
me.
track. I would lose track. I don't have the time or energy to lie like that. Oh my God, I
I
would.
know. Especially when it gets to the point where she's having to convince everybody that she really is pregnant and pull that off and the weight gain and the body suits. And I mean, you're right. At one point, I get up in the morning and go, I don't want to do this. I'm just tired. I'm just tired of the, I'm just tired.
But okay, we have to talk about something because this is what's controversial online. Is this guy Wade, your
Her
partner,
husband, her
whatever?
fiance, then
Well,
soon husband.
I don't think they got married. They didn't get married yet. I think they only were boyfriend, girlfriend.
Okay.
I don't think he even ever married her.
So when they, the whole thing when they bring the cow out with the ring and the two, that was just the,
I don't think
that was the baby, that was the
that was
gender
the
reveal.
gender reveal. That was a
That's
gender
right.
reveal. He only stayed with her. He was going to break up with her, and that's why she came up with the lie. He only did it because she said that was the whole thing. He was ghosting her and she knew it was coming. So she's like, I'm pregnant. But I guess he just like let her stay. But I mean, obviously they were still together, which is like, you know, he said they hadn't had intimacy in 7 months. I don't know. I think that it's really weird that he. So yeah, so I mean, I'm like almost positive they were just like boyfriend, girlfriend. I don't even think he proposed to her. But how much, I don't want to say it's his fault. It's not his fault. But how wild is it that this dude didn't believe he was getting it from all different angles? All the people that he would have trusted most in his life, his mom, his close friends, people who knew her, are telling him. She's had a hysterectomy. Not just that she's not pregnant, that she's lying, that she's had a hysterectomy. At what point should he have like been like, no, you gotta show me that belly right now? Like,
Yeah.
where is, because there's this little part that's like, again, not his fault. But if he would have, like, and I know he said she would freak out, she would be like, these people are lying, and she would do every excuse in the book, and she's convincing. But man, 10 months later, 10 months, by the way, you're not pregnant for 10 months.
Right.
I mean, there's one point where you gotta be like, did he just not care? Or is he like really not going to be like, you better show me this belly at this point? Because this is supposedly your kid.
Right. I don't know if at some point he just, because I mean, you got to realize too, if you haven't seen the documentary, she goes to lengths of creating fake emails, fake documents from doctors. You know, she has this whole conversation that she's supposedly having with her mom who's ostracized her. So, you know, she's showing Wade all of this stuff and everybody else around her, letters from doctors and from all this stuff. I mean, she's got so many fake accounts. And again, when you go back to how do you keep up with it, I don't know how she kept up with all that at all. But I think if you watch Wade, I mean, these are small town, Texas, sort of blue collar. I mean, he's a hog farmer. I mean, he gets wild hogs and pens them up and sells them. I mean, he works a lot all day. I think he's probably one of those people that just doesn't want to engage or even think about the drama. You know, and then, you know, she's holding the carrot out that, you know, we have all this money. I've inherited this money. They're going out on this spending spree, buying cars and
Oh yeah,
all
she
these
loves about the
luxury
money.
items. Supposedly she's getting millions from her grandmother. And so I think there's a part of him that Not that he's riding her for a gravy train, but in the back of
No.
his mind, he's thinking, I don't want to ruin this if I'm just being paranoid. So I think it's just so many combinations with Wade and his personality and just, but you're right. I mean, if you're living with somebody engaged, boyfriend and girlfriend, married or whatever, I mean, to not even see them slightly unclothed for 7 months.
Well,
You
I
know, and it's
also
not like they're living in a giant house. They're living like in
no,
a trailer. So it's not like
yeah.
you got all these different rooms you can go in. So I don't know. I don't know. I know Wade's getting some grief. I know he does feel guilty, and he should
Yeah.
probably a little bit. I think the whole family feels guilty for not saying something.
And to their credit, nobody, and I believe this, not a single person who knew, and including Wade, thought that that was her next step. Everybody was thinking she's going to try to steal a baby. Or I think their number one assumption was she's going to say she had a miscarriage. That was their
Yes.
number one.
Right.
So I can understand that. I can understand that you're thinking, well, we didn't think she was going to go that route of like murder. But
Yeah.
it's just wild to me because, I mean, obviously, you know, how many times did you like touch Kimberly's like pregnant belly and want to feel Milo and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Oh,
Like Trevor
no.
was obsessed with my belly, like with Carly.
Yeah, we
Like,
would, you know, I'd get my guitar out, we'd sing songs, we would tell
yeah.
stories, we would, I mean, there was constantly, you know, interaction. And so yeah, it would have been a real big flag for me if Kimberly would have just stayed hidden all the time and refused and said, no, I'm, you know, embarrassed of this. I'd been like, you know, after a while, I'd been like, look, if this is an issue, we need to get some counseling because there's something
Yeah.
deeper going on here, especially compounded with everything else. But again, I just don't think that's Wade's personality. And I
Yeah.
don't know their relationship before that. But yeah, you're right. I think none of them expected it to go the route it went, even as I'm watching it, because I didn't know how it ended. I was thinking the same thing. She's either going to say that she lost the baby somehow, which I think that should have been plan A. She should have just come up with that. Or that, you know, I know they thought maybe
Code
she would
pink.
steal one.
Code
Yeah.
pink.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many options that she could have had. But yeah, I mean, we'll get into what actually happens. But until that point, all of her family, I mean, how awkward are those gatherings? I mean, like if this you're in this family, what do you do? If like if you're either Wade's best friend or you're her his sister, relative, how hard are you pushing him
I
at this
mean,
point?
I have no boundaries. If this is my family or like one of my best friends, I have friends in my life that I'm thinking of that I'm like super. There are friends I'm not that, I mean, that are close, but not. But I can think of a handful of my friends, and obviously like my brother or something, where I would cross the boundaries and be like, no, I'm not going to believe it until you show me a picture. Like I got to be there, or you tell me 100%, like without. Like, because I'm like, this is what if I heard that this was the case and I'm like, she had a hysterectomy? Oh, you better believe that I'm like, that's psychotic and you need to, she's dangerous. I would think she's dangerous. Like, that's weird. You need to get out of it, especially. And I'd looked it up. It was just a boyfriend. So I'd be like, if she's faking this, you can get out. You're not married.
Yeah, you have
There's, this
no
is,
ties. You can
this
say,
is.
bye-bye, I'll see you.
Yeah, so I'm like, figure it out now because there's your out if she's lying that she's crazy and that you need to run, and that's horrible that she lied to you about that. So, I mean, yeah, I would absolutely like, because I'd be like, that's dangerous, obviously. Again, I wouldn't have assumed that that's what she was gonna do. She has no history of violence. She has two kids already, so there's a little bit of that, but it's, I don't know, she's a good actress. I'm not sure. I just think that I really wish he would have pushed a little harder to figure out that belly after all that stuff was out. Because you never, because I think what happened is that because all those people were coming at him, telling him that, that's what motivated her more to be like, oh, I'm getting, I think it's in the dogs, like, I'm bringing a baby. Like then she switched it. She might have thought she was gonna say she lost the baby, but then she was like, no, y'all got me too pissed. Now I gotta bring you a baby.
And did she think that this was going to work? How did she think that this even, I mean, obviously she's mentally unstable to create all these lies and these fictitious accounts and everything else. But to think that, spoiler alert, I can murder this pregnant woman, cut her baby open, take it as my own, and nobody's going to question it. Nobody's going to be like, oh, okay, well, you did have a baby after all. What do you know? Happily ever after. She had to know at some point, every liar does. Every liar knows, especially at a certain point, I am not going to get away with this.
That's
she
where
she never got there.
Very sad to me, because this was, she clearly, I think they had the proof from the research. She had planned it for a good while to befriend this girl, and clearly, because she was researching how to perform a C-section, it was premeditated that she was going to do this to her. So sad. So sad. And so she got as far as stealing the baby, because she did not think the rest through. She did not think that the minute you walk into a doctor's office, like, she didn't think about all the doctor's visits that you have to do with your mm-hmm. child, the follow-up on yourself that a doctor would require. I mean, she did not. Yeah. And like, what do you think was going to happen? That Reagan was going to die and nobody would put two and two together that you were the one to last right. see her? Like, I don't, she's delusional though.
And how sad for Reagan's family. Reagan is the young woman who, she was married, had kids of her own, and she, you know, befriended this Taylor girl, and she murdered her and took her baby. How sad for that family. I mean, here you're looking forward to another addition to your family. You've got things planned. I mean, it's like your whole world is right there. And this psychotic person who literally all you did was hire them to take pictures at a wedding has now ruined your life. Will never be the same.
No.
That to me is the most tragic of all of this. Take Wade out of the picture. Well, Taylor's family, Wade's family. They'll get over it. They'll get over the lies,
mm-hmm.
but they can't get over the guilt of they are somewhat responsible for the death of this other girl.
That, and also the poor daughter who was in the house. Thank God she's okay. She wasn't harmed, but the fact that she had to hear that, she was somewhere hearing that happened to her mom. Mm-hmm. And
seeing it and stepping so over her and everything. It's just, man.
So sick. And then hearing the mom, like the 911 call, I couldn't.
Oh my gosh.
I lost it on that one. I just was like, the fact that she could even like retell that story. And then we heard what she said. She's definitely gone through it. Mm-hmm. No, it's so like, I just feel like I feel for that family. I feel for Reagan, her kids, her husband, all of it. It's just the worst. And I wish, like, there's so many things. It's one of those things I'm like, what could have happened to prevent this? And I don't want to blame. It's all Taylor's fault. That is where it is. It's just, you can't help but like think, oh, what could have prevented such a tragedy?
Yeah, I know. At what point and I don't know if anything could have. I don't know if anything would have stopped her from going and fulfilling all of this. But I mean, we're only just scratching the surface. If you watch this mm-hmm. documentary, like he talks to friends who knew her growing up, and she would create mm-hmm. all these illnesses, and she would say she had cancer and brain tumors, and everything that her friends were going through, she was going through it too, to get all this stuff online and all this attention.
She's so obsessed with attention.
She was obsessed. And so just, you know, if you watch the documentary, like I said, we're only just scratching the surface. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember, it starts with her in the car with the baby and the trooper there. Did he pull her over, or was she stopped and he stopped because she was stopped?
So what had happened was she was speeding. So the cop came behind her right away. So when mm-hmm. she saw the cop was behind her, that's when she called 911. Because in her mind, she's like, I'll call 911 and say, hey, a cop is pulling me over. I need help. I just had my baby. So she had to like think fast to say mm-hmm. that, to act like, oh, no, you're not pulling me over. I was already calling the cops, basically. It's like her mind goes there. It's like she needs to beat whenever she's caught. Whenever she's caught, she has such a defense plan ready.
Mm-hmm. Because in my mind, I'm wondering what would have happened. I think eventually it would have all came out if she didn't get stopped for speeding. If mm-hmm. just that one, like if she would have got home with the baby.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously the baby was not going to survive, sadly. Like at some point, I mean, she'd have just told her family I was in the car and I had the baby. I couldn't get to the hospital. I mean, she'd already told Wade, her husband, to go off on this fictitious farm ranch sale that he wanted to do. Was she going to take the baby home and then say, I had the baby here and it's dead? Maybe that was her plan. But, you know, because I mean, she didn't live close to the other girl. There was quite of a drive between the two. Right. I feel like eventually they would have solved the murder and the missing baby.
Mm-hmm.
But if Taylor gets home, tells her family, I had the baby here. I'm unable to keep it. They take her to the doctor. I mean, I'm sure it all would have come out. I just wonder how long it would have taken to unfold had just that cop not been there at the right time.
I think ultimately what would have happened, and if I'm not mistaken with the HIPAA laws, is that if she would have presented a baby on social media, or if those doctors caught wind of that, and then they also saw that there was a murder, they would have put two and two together, and that's when they could say something. Because I believe you are allowed to say something when there's actual harm, like something. Mm-hmm. But that's why they couldn't say anything, because like lying about a pregnancy and posting about it, that's not doing anything. They can't, right. They can't violate the HIPAA laws for that. But if somebody's in danger and they suspected murder, I mean, they'd be like, she didn't give birth to this baby. So.
Right. And I could even see her going home because Wade's not there, burying the baby. And he gets home and she's like, I had the baby early and it was dead and I had to bury it. And here's the umbilical cord and I'm so sorry and we've lost our child. And, you know, and then the baby never even being seen. I could even see her doing something that crazy,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, and I don't know. But yeah, just like I said, this every time when you watch this, it just compounds. From the lies to the pregnancy to I got a baby to the murder. It's just one thing after another. It's just an insane story.
Yeah, it is totally wild. It's really sad.
Yeah. Now, so and she is one of the only few women on death row in Texas. She's there. I don't see her getting out at
I
all.
Don't think she should. I think she's actually a danger to society. That is the one thing. It's crazy that there's only, I think there's seven or eight. There's only ever been that many women on death row. Mm-hmm. I'm very conflicted with how I feel about that in general of death row. But after what she did and her track record of lying and what she does, I don't ever think she should be in the real world, because I would be very scared what she is capable of and what she would do, because I don't think that she has taken any real accountability. I bet you today, if you were to speak to her, she would still come up with some lies or excuses. I think she was in there saying like, oh, she asked me to take the baby out. You know, it's like, she's got one lie after another, no accountability.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. She was, I mean, even at the last interrogation, you see when she's telling mm-hmm. the cops all of these stories about, yeah, she was dying, wanted me to take, but like, nobody's going to believe that. But she probably is now just telling, ain't no telling what she's telling those people in prison.
Yeah, I thought there is something, I got to watch it, but I think some prison inmate said like what she was trying to say happened. And I'm just like, I wouldn't believe anything this girl says. She just mm-mm. speaks lies. So.
Yeah, it is insane. So again, Maternal Instincts, it's on Netflix. Mm-hmm. It's a heavy watch. You will walk away sad. It is heartbreaking mm-hmm. on so many levels. Especially for this family who just were bystanders in all these lies and lost a precious part of their family, two precious parts of their family.
Yeah.
So it's just heartbreaking. But it's at the same time, if you like these sort of true crime stuff, there's not been a better one out there.
This is one of the most fascinating ones, just because Taylor Parker is just a different kind of level of evil. Mm-hmm. And psychotic. So, and I always like to look at these true crime. I love true crime stuff because I look at it as like a cautionary tale. These are red flags to look out for and make sure you don't ignore them, because look what can happen.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, my family's small town and we got some weird, crazy people and they get called out. I mean, my family's had to call out people and it's just, you have to. I mean, there's always gossip, rumors, everything about small town is crazy. But yeah, hopefully this would waken people up to be like, you know what, maybe I should question things more and not just take them verbatim. This is kind of a random question. This comes up every time I watch something like this. I've even seen some things online about other instances. Do you think doing documentaries, news story, does it glamorize it to the point where other people who are maybe a little unhinged would do things thinking, oh man, I want a Netflix documentary. I would want the attention. I mean, these people are already attention whores anyway. And the fact that they can get, you know, not to the point of killing somebody or pretending to be pregnant, but just going out of the lines thinking, oh yeah, I could be a Netflix star, you know?
I mean, it's a good question. It's something, I think it's one of those things that, like, you could say that about so many other things. It's like why a horror film could inspire that. I mean, there's just the news could do it if that's what they're looking for. I don't think it glamorizes it just because what I feel after. What I feel after is disgust for that person. I don't think, like, I feel for the victims involved, and I take it as a cautionary thing. None of those people, I think what they need to remember, those villains or whatever you want to call them, they have like their 15 minutes in the spotlight. I wouldn't say fame, just in the spotlight. Like nobody thinks about them ever again. Right. We were on the unknown number late. I couldn't even tell you her name, you know?
Yeah.
Like same. The perfect neighbor, like Mackenzie is going to be a distant thought. You know what I mean? Like all these, they're in the spotlight while their doc is out and it's number one or whatever. And then people forget about them. And it's not like they're not celebrities. Nobody. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always going to be crazies that idolize these people, whatever. But
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just I think the prime example is Mackenzie thinking she's going to be like Kim Kardashian's going to reach out and all this stuff. And then it's like, OK, this isn't it's not a good kind of fame.
It's not. You know, and we've seen this. This isn't nothing new. I mean, you've got people like John Wayne Gacy and, you know, all of these serial killers from the 70s. And, you know, and that's what came up, too, is like, you know, they give them these really cool names. Mm-hmm. They personify them. And then, you know, there's copycat killers that are like, ooh, man, I kind of want, you know, I want to be famous for this. And so, you know, so it's nothing new at all. Yeah. It's just that, you know, with social media and everything else, I would just hate for somebody to ever glamorize it in their head of, you know, I've got nothing to lose. Let me just do something extreme to get a documentary.
I would hate it too, but I also think if you're that type of person and you think that way, it's you're going to think that something else is going to trigger you than a documentary. Some other thing is going to make you want to be like that.
Yeah, true. So true. I mean, crazy is crazy. It's already there. Mm-hmm. It's already sprouted. All right. Well, like you said, we want to end on kind of a happy note. But again, you can check out Maternal Instincts streaming on Netflix. Also on Netflix, a movie, not true life, but I wish it was because it is such a beautiful story. Voicemails for Isabel, released June 19th on Netflix. I know you've had we talked a little bit about this last week. You were in LA for that junket and to talk to them. And the interviews are on your site and socials. This one, I feel like, because, you know, we get a lot of these. This is nothing new. The genre is not new. We've had it forever. What made this one so special, do you think? Because I do feel like this is a step above the normal rom-coms that we get from all the streaming services.
Yeah, everyone's loving this rom-com. All I'm seeing is, like, people reacting emotionally to it and just raving about it. And number one on Netflix. I think, well, I always want to praise Leah McKendrick's writing. I think she knows how to write to her audience. She's very relatable. She does a good job with the comedy. So it's not just that. I feel like these days, sometimes with rom-coms, it's just such generic slapstick, predictable comedy that just really doesn't make you laugh. But she's got the good humor in there. I mean, it's her lead. Her lead, what she does for Zoe Deutsch's character, she's so personable. And that first, I said in my interview, like the first 5 or 10 minutes of that movie feels like Up. She establishes this beautiful bond between two sisters that, like, you're hooked just from that. I mean, I'm bawling watching this relationship, which I have to acknowledge the fact when you texted me and you're like, you didn't tell me Isabel dies. I legit thought you were messing with me. I was like, are you joking? Are you joking right now? That's like all over. Like, I think it's in the description. It's in the trailer. It's like, that's what the movie's about. She's
leaving
voicemails for her dead sister. Anyways, it's the heart, the authenticity. The humor is good. It's very nostalgic of, you know, it's modern day. You've Got Mail. I mean, obviously You've Got Mail is amazing, But this has that essence to it, and there's something refreshing about this take on this predictable rom-com. But
Yeah, and
yeah.
again, it is, there are a lot of cliches, there are a lot of formulaic things in this. I mean, for sure, but I feel like even in spite of that, it's still something that was, even though you knew some things were coming, we knew when the phone was going to ring. We knew when she was going to find out that he had this phone, and we knew all that was coming. So that was nothing new. I just feel like, in spite of all that, it still was able to just really capture a lot of heart. And the chemistry between the two leads, I think, was just spot on, which was, again, another reason I think it was so successful. I just really like both of their characters. And you always pull for them, but in this case, I was really hoping that it would all work out. So again, that's also on Netflix, and encourage you to check that out. There's a scene at the end that just ripped me apart, and
Oh my
I think you
God.
know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah. So you
So,
spotted her. You spotted
huh?
her?
Well,
Did you?
not just that. No, I didn't spot her. I had to see that later in the clips. I
Oh.
didn't notice that in the dance scene. No, what got
Oh.
me was when he calls the phone to ask her sister for permission.
Oh my God, that was so sweet.
I know. So there's
Yes,
like the
so
writing,
cute.
the write that. I mean, you didn't have to. It's the end of the movie. We're hooked. We're good. It's all
Yeah.
great. To even think about that at the end, I think, is just powerful. So,
It is. It
yeah.
is. No, it's a great, and I mean, I know we talk about this, but people who love this, you guys should also check out Scrambled. It's on Hulu. It's another one that's like, I think it's an original comedy because we don't see a lot of movies about a woman freezing her eggs, but you can see a sample of Leah McKendrick's comedy and writing right there. That's a very good personal story that, I mean, it's no surprise when you watch that and then voicemails that you're like, wow. This woman knows what she's doing.
She does, and she's somebody I want to keep my eye on, because I mean, you say names like Nora Ephron, you don't say them casually, but she could be that next one that years from now we're talking about and looking at this string of movies that just changed the face of that sort of genre.
I think so. I really do. I mean, telling you, if people just watch Scrambled, she's got two under her belt, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And
Well,
yeah.
again, Susan was able to talk to her and the cast. You can check that out at her website. Plus some stuff for the Avatar stuff that's on Netflix, interviews
Yeah,
for
season
that.
two of Avatar: Last Airbender released this week. You can see my interviews there. If you like that kind of show, this season two is even better than season one.
Yeah, and then I know you have some stuff for DCC. We're going to be talking more about that in the future, but you got some interviews with that coming out as well. So again, everything Susan does, check out thischicksflix.com. Everything we do, it's mungleshow.com. We'll be back with more of the big screen, little screen, and everything else next week.